So last week, Bumi and myself went to Pesaro, which is on the east coast of Italy. And the church there, they're great friends of ours, of Jonathan and I's. They've become friends over many years now. We've been there several times. We've ministered in the church. And the church in, which is actually Faro, just up the coast from Pesaro, is a small church like us. It's actually about 20, 25 believers that come from around an area probably the size of London to meet, and that they form the church in that area. They're part of a network of a larger congregation in Modena that's got about 500, 600 in it, that links with Apostolic to Kingdom Faith in Horsham. And there's another church in the south of about 200, and then there's other house groups in different places. And this small group in Pesaro really stepped out in faith to put this conference on for the women. It had never been done, so they were pioneering, they were starting something fresh and new. And God really was at work. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that, but that's just to give you a little bit of a backdrop of why we were there and who was there. And the women came from all across Italy. So I'm going to ask Bumi just to come and share a little bit about what God did in her, and also what she come up, Bumi, and what she saw God do in those 2 days.
So when you asked me to come along, I wasn't really sure what to I wasn't really sure what to expect, and I was really anxious about what God was going to do. And it was such an intense, the 2 days were really, really intense. And I felt like the Spirit of God was just there. And Italy, I mean, I do remember speaking to you when on our way to the application center, when I said to you that Italy is such a Catholic country. And a lot of the Italians I know here in London are, Catholics, and there's this general belief that it's really what you do that brings you in right standing with God, as opposed to a genuine relationship with Christ. And the thing is, most of the women that even came, most of them came from that sort of Catholic background. But then you shared your story, you shared a bit about what Streetlight is doing. And it was such an amazing experience. And the women shared their testimonies from that, and just lives touched, and just an amazing atmosphere of restoration, healing, broken hearts healed. People shared stories about their families. And there were a few people that had gone through divorces and come out of that. And it was just an amazing experience. And there was also the bit where there was long lines of people, waiting to be prayed for. Well, prayed for each and every one. And for me personally, I was challenged to, really stand up. It was sort of like a fresh invitation of like courage, boldness, confidence, and standing up for what I believe in wherever I go in my workplace. There's this thing where I feel like I tend to be silent, especially in context where. I've always found myself in situations where I'm sort of like the only believer, and I get really shy, and I'm always sort of like silent about just being vocal about what I believe in. And you really inspired me to just really be bold, just stand up, share the word of God, and there's nothing to be ashamed of, And God is good, and God is great, and God wants to do really, really amazing things here. So yeah, it was really good.
Amen. And there was about 80 women that came together. We're going to go back next year. Maybe we can take a team. They're going to grow it, the conference. And yeah, the power of God, I think, in times like that. These, as Bumi said, these women came from a very Catholic religious background. That was what they grew up in. So there wasn't necessarily faith, genuine personal relationship and faith with Jesus. In the first session, we saw four people come to the Lord, genuinely born again, coming right through to repentance and faith. More people got saved throughout the day. for the first time giving their lives to Jesus, surrendering to him. Really powerful testimonies of a deep work that God was doing to set captives free. I mean, I could tell you story after story. The Saturday night, we got to listen to some of the testimonies of what God had done just on that day one. And day two, he continued to do more. And of course, it's Jesus. It's his work. It's his glory. It's what he does in us and through us. But he does it when we step out, as Bumi said, in boldness and faith and confidence, unashamed of the gospel, and create an environment that others can come into. Because effectively, that's what we did. We just created this environment where faith was present to heal the sick, to set the captives free, to see answers, to see hope. And there were some pretty dark situations that we encountered in some of these women's lives, very real struggles and challenges. And one of the things that is evidenced in the church in Italy, and it's something Jonathan and I have seen many times, and I want to talk a little bit about this morning, because this is what I felt God lay on my heart for us. And it's a bit of a challenge. I'm as challenged, I think, as you will be when you hear this. The hunger in Italy is incredible. The hunger in this group of people. They're hungry for the presence of God. They're hungry to know God. They're hungry to experience God in their lives. That hunger motivates them to come together. So for most of them, they will travel an hour and a half every week just to be at a house group. And they won't miss it because they're hungry for fellowship. Because there's so few believers who are genuinely full of faith, full of life, full of the joy of the Lord that they experience. And the worship, we were going to try and play you a clip of the worship, but we didn't manage to, because the worship was amazing, wasn't it? And they just come alive when they have the opportunity to worship God together. It's vibrant because it's an expression of what's of that hunger on the inside of them. And this hunger for God comes out of being in quite a dry place spiritually. So Italy has been really affected by the recession back in 2008. In fact, I would call it a depression in Italy. It's very hard to find work, any work. And we heard testimony after testimony from the believers who are really seeing the favor of God because they believe for it. But it's a hard environment for them spiritually. And yet they are, many of the women that got born again, they got born again on those 2 days because they were the friends and the neighbours of the women that knew the Lord. And there is a sense of reaching out and not containing this life that they've experienced, and such a hunger and a desire in that. And this hunger is what I believe God wants us to look at today and to focus on a little bit. Let's turn in our Bibles, if you have them, to John chapter 7 and verse 37. And a well-known passage where Jesus, it says in verse 37, on the last and the greatest day of the feast, there was a feast in Jerusalem that he was at, Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Let me just read you the amplified version of that. Now, on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried in a loud voice, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his inmost being, shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. Amen. I love the Amplified Version. That's the classic Amplified. And it just draws out the richness of the original Greek and Hebrew where it's written. And I want you to picture Jesus crying out in a very religious place, in a place where people did their religious duty. That's what they knew. That's what they'd been brought up in. And he cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me." There were three things here that Jesus required. One, thirst. Second, come to him. Third, drink, receive. So we need to be thirsty. We need to come to him. And we need to receive. Essentially, that's what Jesus was saying. And then the fruit of that is that these streams of living water will flow out of us. It's those streams of living water that those women were able to drink from. They were able to come and drink and receive. Now, it was a special time that was set aside to do that. And they had given time in that place. The thirsty come to him. The thirsty come to Jesus, and they know how to receive. And I want you to think about your own walk with God and where you are today in this, okay? The thirsty come to him not in their heads, but in their hearts. Because the stream of living water that flows out, it flows out of our hearts, out of our innermost being. It doesn't flow out of your head. People can't receive life, the life that Jesus wants to give to us and through us. They can't receive that through head knowledge. They can't receive that just because we decide to debate. Have you ever tried to debate someone into the kingdom? It's hard work. Because revelation doesn't come through debate. Debate sometimes is good. And I'm not saying that we should throw out understanding, because the scripture says get understanding, get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, you should understand why you believe what you believe. But ultimately, it's a matter of the heart that's going to change a life. And this thirst needs to come from that place. Head knowledge doesn't release life. And actually, head knowledge, it can be rooted in pride. It can be rooted in, well, I know the scriptures, or I know, or, you know, it's an exaltation of earthly wisdom, if you like, which is why Jesus said, you've got to become like a little child if you're going to see the kingdom of heaven. You've got to have that childlike faith that simply, like a child jumping into the arms of their father who believes that the father is going to catch them. That kind of childlike faith that jumps in, all in relationship with God. That's the kind of faith where streams of living water flow out. When you receive from God in this place, because Jesus offered an invitation, and that invitation is going out throughout history. It's ringing out even today. It's an unending invitation. Come. If you're thirsty, come. And when you come and you receive, it produces faith. So there's a kind of a twofold thing going on here. Luke, in Luke chapter 6, you don't have to turn there. It says, for each, this is verse 44 and 45, if you want to look it up later. For each tree is known and identified by its own fruit. Figs are not picked from thorn bushes, nor is a cluster of grapes picked from a briar bush. The good man produces what is good and honorable and moral out of the good treasure stored up in his heart. And it goes on to say, out from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But essentially, this stream of living water that God wants to flow out, and I don't know if you want to see more of God flow out of your life. I do. Why do we read the stories of the amazing revivalists and the men and women of God of history who've gone before us? Who you think of someone like Finney. Was it Finney that walked into the factory and he just looked at people and they fell to their knees and repented? They came under conviction of their need of God. There was such a pool, such a life, such a river flowing out of him that it had that effect. God, I want to see more of God's life flowing out of my life. Not because I try, but because I'm thirsty and I've received something of him. I'm not trying, but it's the life. But it comes on the inside. It's the internal world that we live in. Now, linked to this thirst, because the thirst enables us to receive, and when we receive, we believe. And it's through our faith that that river then flows. How do we get thirsty? Because you might be sat there, and I know when I read this, and the Lord was speaking to me, and I'm seeing these women in Italy, and I've seen it in other places that I've been, a thirst that goes beyond what I know I have. I remember being in Central Asia with the church there several years ago, and I've never experienced thirst like I did there. Where you literally could not stop the people praying when they came together. You had to stop them to eat physically. They were so thirsty and so hungry for the things of God whenever they had an opportunity to come together. God, I'm not thirsty like that, but I want to be. Because the miracles that flowed out of their lives were every day. In fact, they didn't know any different. They just thought, well, that's what it says in the Bible. That's how we're meant to be. That's how it's meant to be, isn't it? So the thirst, how do we get thirsty when we recognize we're not thirsty enough? And you are thirsty in this room because you're here. You came on Sunday morning. You made a choice to be in the house of God, to be with the people of God. There is something on the inside of you that wanted to make that choice. No matter where you are in your relationship with God, in how you see God, view God, you made a choice to come here. So there's a thirst in you. But the level of our thirst will determine the level of the river that flows out. There's a scripture in Isaiah, very famous, well-known scripture, quoted a lot in church. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Have you ever thought about that scripture? Arise and shine, for your light has come, past tense, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Well, normally, when something's risen, comes down, doesn't it? It's there to come down. It's upon you. There's something that's got to rise up on the inside to come upon us. It's kind of a double-edged thing. And I believe there's such a mighty rising in the spirit that God wants out of this thirst, out of this hunger, that there's such a release that it comes first on us before it then comes on others. Because you have to know and experience God yourself to minister out of that place. Otherwise, it's just head knowledge. So here's the thing that God wants to get at today. And if you want to write a statement down that you can go away and meditate on, this is it. How we spend our time determines how thirsty we are. How we spend our time determines how thirsty we are, or how thirsty we will be. How we spend our time time is one of the greatest gifts that you and I have been given. Not even the angels were given time. They're in eternity. God has given time to humanity. And a few weeks ago, I spoke about this. There's a growing revelation that God's giving me over this. Because the scripture says a lot about how we should view time. And view the time that we have in this earth. And you remember, for those of you who are here, I spoke about a phrase that God gave me. And it was the phrase, the pinprick of time in eternity. Now imagine the universe laid out as a map. The whole universe, the stars, the galaxies. Imagine it. We can hardly imagine it. It's so vast. It's so great. But imagine it as much as you can, that as a flat map, if you like. And in the middle of that, a pinprick. That's what time is represented in eternity. The universe represents eternity. We are made in the image of God, who is the eternal one. We live for eternity. When our bodies die, we know we don't die, our bodies die. We enter into eternity. And yet God has given us this valuable commodity, this valuable gift of time. How we spend our time will determine how thirsty we are. You chose time to spend your valuable time today to be here. That was a good choice. That was a choice that will affect eternity for you. Because you chose to come and hear, for whatever reasons, whatever your motivations. Maybe some of you didn't particularly even want to be here. But you're here. You made a choice to hear God's heart, God's word. To come together with the fellowship of believers. That enables a thirst to grow, a hunger to grow on the inside. For all of us, our time is limited. All of us. In one sense, he says in Psalm 139:16, all the days ordained for me are written in his book, all of them, before one of them came to pass. God has already written our days. He's already established the time that you and I will have. And within that time, he wants us to be thirsty for him, to understand why we exist, why we're here, the purpose that he has for us, because it will affect how we spend eternity. The scripture is clear. The Bible is clear on that. But all of us, and you know, we all have different days numbered. The scripture says we shouldn't take tomorrow for granted. We shouldn't just expect that we have tomorrow, actually. We should be thankful for each day and live in the grace of today. There's grace today for whatever we face today. But all of us, each day, we have the same time, if you like. I don't have more hours in my day than you have in yours. We each have the same amount of time. I know that's not the greatest revelation you're going to get. But sometimes people will say to me, oh, can I see you, Helena? Or can you make time for me? I know you're so busy. As if, you know, Jonathan and I have got so much in our diary that we, to make time for somebody. Well, it's as important for us to make time for you as it is for you to make time for us. There's no difference. Our time is not more valuable than your time. Your time is not more valuable than our time. It's about who you're meant to be spending time with. Where are you meant to be spending this time that you've been entrusted with? You know, for children that grow up in church, and I don't know what the backgrounds are of people in this room. I know for us, Sunday morning was non-negotiable. We go to church. And children that grow up in that environment continue to go to church statistically. They continue to make that a priority in their life. Why? Because that was a priority. Now, I'm not talking about a religious duty. I'm talking about this. Being together as the family of God, as the people of God. How we spend our time will determine how thirsty we are. There's a cost to receiving the treasures of heaven. And I think, actually, sometimes one of the biggest costs is time. One of the things that Bumi said to me as we were coming back, she said, I never realise what it costs for the word of God to be brought. She said, because I'm always on the other side. I'm always the one that's turning up at a conference and just waiting for the guest speaker to come to bring the word. But what she said to me is, actually, I didn't realise the time, the cost, what went into getting that word. Because she experienced some of that, because she walked closely with me. There's a cost to bring the treasures of God. And it's the same for all of us that's linked to time. You see, the relationships that you have, the quality of your relationships is linked to the time that you give them. Do you want closer relationships with those in the church? Give them time. Invest time. Spend time with people. Just like you're doing this morning. It won't happen without a cost, without an intentional, I want to spend the time that I have. And I think the people that we spend our time with is a really important question. To make sure that we get those priorities right, that we know who those people are. Because even Jesus couldn't spend all of his time with everyone. He had to be selective. He had 12 apostles. There were 3 within the 12 that he spent more time with because of the particular nature of their calling. He spent some time with the 72 disciples. But there was choices that he had to make about who he was spending his time with. And it's the same for you and I. Particularly when you've lost a loved one. We had to go and bury one of our close relatives this last week. She's with the Lord. So it was a celebration and a thanksgiving for her life. But we recognise as a family that a season has ended. A season where we could enjoy the physical contact and presence of someone, and all that brought was limited. And I know whenever I face that, whenever I face the loss of a loved one, which I know many of us experience, and in fact we all experience it at some point. When you face that, the question rises up in me about how do I value what I have right now? Because it is limited. How do I value what God has given in this season? Sometimes we can be so focused on tomorrow, on what will be, rather than what we have right now. And God wants us not to miss a thing, but to live in the grace of today. Amen. So the time that you invest will affect how thirsty you are. The time to pray. Why is there such pressure on our time? That time to pray is always going to be, unless it's guarded, it's going to be eaten into. And these are things that we know. They're simple things. The time to pray, the time to listen and to believe so that we can receive. Because Jesus in that invitation, he said, come if you're thirsty and receive, drink. So we have to invest time. And I think that's one of the hardest things to do sometimes, because we want to run ahead, get it all neatly laid out in our plan. But when we do that, maybe the people that you're praying for, you know, these we've produced, for those of you who are not aware, we've produced these little cards where we're praying for people every day. You know, every day that takes me about less than a minute, 30 seconds of my 24 hours, or a minute of my 24 hours, to pray these daily things over those that I want to see come into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. It takes me less than a minute. I think that's worth the investment to do that every day. There's choices that we make. What we receive in that place, I think making the space and the time for God, and Jonathan spoke about this, we've both been speaking about it in different ways over the last few months, about creating room for God. Guard that. Protect that. Think about that. Because in that place, it will determine what you receive, so that those people you're praying for, believe in God for, maybe in your own family situation where you need miracles, where you want to see provision, you want to see answers, the time that you invest to receive, to listen to what God is saying and to receive will determine what flows out. When I went to Italy and I said to Bumi, you know, I've got nothing to say. He has. He's got plenty he wants to say. And I've got a choice. I can either stand up in what I want to do, or I can say, God, I can take the time to say, God, what do you want to do? The situations that we believe in God for, what's God saying? Take the time to get thirsty in that area. And I'll say it again, the time that we invest is directly linked to how thirsty we are. Those believers in Italy, they invest the time because they're so thirsty for fellowship. They're so thirsty to hear the word of God preached outside of a religious context in a life-giving way, that they'll invest that time. They'll invest everything that they have. Now let's finish by looking at what Jesus said about this. And this was an amazing thing in Luke chapter 10. If you want to turn there quickly. I'm going to finish with this and then we're going to pray. Luke chapter 10. The last part of it. And this well-known story where Jesus is at the home of Martha and Mary. And essentially the story says Martha's very busy. She's rushing around, practically doing all the things that need to be done. And we all know that, don't we? We all know that feeling. There's always plenty to be done. And I can fall into that very easy. And my natural inclination is to be a doer. Maybe you're like that as well. And Jesus essentially in this story, he says in I'll read it from verse 40. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Because Mary was sat at the Lord's feet listening to him. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen. She made a choice. Actually, that was a pretty bold choice for Mary, because in the culture of the day, women didn't sit at the feet of rabbis. women were not discipled in that way. So Jesus broke a massive cultural taboo in saying, nope, it's not, it's okay, she can do that. He broke a massive cultural taboo. Why? Because he wanted to make a point. Actually, she's chosen the one thing that she really needs. What he wasn't saying was that we can selfishly leave all the work to everybody else. Many of you in the church here that are members of the congregation, you choose to serve. You come in early, you help set up, you make Sunday happen because you're thirsty for God. You choose to do that. Whenever we make a choice to do those things, we're creating room for God in our lives. And although Jesus said this to Mary, he wasn't saying to Martha, those things don't matter. But he was saying, actually, right now, Martha, this one thing's needed because I've got some things that I want you to receive. Because out of that place, he knew his time was limited on earth. Maybe Mary had a sense of that. I think a lot of the disciples who were around Jesus, they sensed things that made sense only after the cross. That after the cross, they'd have been like, that's why I felt like that. That's why I thought that. Because the scriptures would have come alive as the Holy Spirit was poured out. And maybe there was just something on the inside that Mary that just said, oh, hang the dishes. I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus because the time is short. I haven't got him for long. And I want to hang on every word. And it's not missing those moments because of the things that need to be done around us. To press through to say, God, I want to be thirsty for you. I want to get what you have for me. Amen. Mary chose the one thing that was needed, Jesus said. Let's stand to our feet as we're going to pray together. And you know where you are right now in this walk with God. You know, for some of you, how surrendered you are. Actually, we're all in different places of surrender here because a surrendered heart is a heart that can receive. And Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come and receive. And he's saying the same thing this morning to us. So I want you to just think about your life in just for a few seconds now. Think about how you value time, what you're doing with your time. Is there something that the Holy Spirit wants to say that he is saying to you about the time, where you spend your time, who you spend your time with? Jesus went into all different situations, but he was always led by God. He didn't just go because that was his preference. He ate and dined with sinners, with prostitutes. And yet there were other times when he said, no, I need to draw away from the crowd with my disciples because I need to teach them. I need to invest in them. I need to train them. And there were other times when he said, actually, I just need to be on my own with God. I need to hear from my Father. But he was sensitive to the Lord. So just, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come now. That you would bring that sensitivity afresh into each heart that is crying out to you, that is reaching out to you. Lord, I know in my own life, I want to be so much more conscious of using this valuable gift of time that you've given me in the right way. So that I, as your word says, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Step by step with you every day. And from here, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would now release. As we just come to him now. Just come to him. That invitation's still there. Come. Come. If anyone's thirsty, are you thirsty? just come in your heart now. Come to Him. Come to Jesus. Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm thirsty, God. I'm thirsty, Lord, for you, because I know you have the words of eternal life. You have what I need, Lord. You are all sufficient. You're more than enough for everything that presents itself before me in life. You're more than enough, Lord. I can't express your thirst, so you express your thirst to Him. Wherever you are, whatever that is right now. I'm coming to you, Lord. I want to receive. I want to receive, Lord, in my heart, not in my head. I want to be filled. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just move right across this room. Right across this room, Holy Spirit, you would move with revelation truth. With the power of who you are. Thank you that there's no barriers, Lord. That prayer moves mountains. That you're not bound by physical walls, Lord. You're not bound by physical things. You're outside of time. And you're ready to move in every and any situation. And I pray for every person here that's reaching out for you, Lord, that you would meet them right where they are. Right where they are, Lord, that you would fill them afresh. That they would receive. You know, when I give something to my kids, they say thank you. That's the response I think God looks from us. It's just a thankful heart. Just a heart that says thank you, Lord. So if you're asking for God, He's pouring out. So you can just thank Him. You can simply just say thank you, Lord. Thank you. You don't hold back from me. He opens His hand to satisfy the desires of every living thing. Every living thing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I know for me, and I pray it over us as a congregation in Kingdom Faith London, that out of this place, not just a little trickle, not just a little trickle, Lord, or a little spring, but a mighty, roaring, raging fountain of life would flow. That you would establish such a place of life in God on the inside that's multiplied as we come together to glorify your name. That others who are broken, who are hopeless, who don't have your life in them can come and drink, come and feed. Come and feast on your goodness. And I pray that over us as a body. I speak that over each one of us, Lord. That rising up of the glory of the Lord. That the light and the glory of who you are, Jesus, will be seen right across London. Right across the places where you've positioned us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just 10, 20 seconds to thank Him. Just thank Him for who He is in your life. Thank you, Lord.
The word that God been living within for the last 24 hours is replacement. And the whole thing that God was speaking to me was, have I replaced anything that where He should be the number one? And it's just about the time. Have we replaced things that God sort of saying, no, actually that's my time, and have we replaced it with other things? So, Father, I just ask you that, you know, you'll do business with each one of us as we open our hearts to you. Lord, that you will do whatever you need to do to bring us to that place where you want us to be in order for us to fulfill the purpose that you have destined for each and every one of us. Father, I thank you that every one of us has a destiny. every one of us has a purpose, why we are on this earth. And Lord, I just thank you that as we give you the time, Father, I thank you that you will reveal what that is, so that we can fulfill your plan and purpose, and that we will be fruitful in every way. We trust that you have been encouraged by the word today, and we pray over each and every one of you that God will do a sovereign work in your life. If you want to ask further questions, then please get in touch with us. All the details are on the website, www.kingdomfaith.com, where you can contact us for any further information. God bless you. We trust that you have been encouraged by the word today. And we pray over each and every one of you that God will do a sovereign work in your life. If you want to ask further questions, then please get in touch with us. All the details are on the website, www.kingdomfaith.com, where you can contact us for any further information. God bless you.